Welcome in, folks. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I'm joined again, first time in an audio format in a little while, by my friend Ross Orr. Ross is the president and CEO of Backtech Environmental on the Canadian Securities Exchange, CSE. You'll find it under the symbol BAC. And here in the U.S. on the over-the-counter market, it's under the symbol BCCEF. Ross, thanks for taking a few minutes today on a nice warm day here in Florida. I think you might finally have gotten a little bit nicer weather up there in Toronto, too, here on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 7th.
It's getting there. it's been a long time coming.
You guys have had a long winter up there. I was just in upstate New York visiting my dad, among other things, for his 90th birthday, and I think it was the second day I was there, I got to watch it snow at the tail end of April. That's never fun. But anyway, another nicer environment where you just were was down in Ecuador. And I'm going to be talking a lot about this over the next few weeks, both in the context of Backtech specifically in the upcoming issue of the National Investor, as well as in a standalone report I'm doing to update people on the great environment, really, in a whole country that is a story that a lot of people still don't quite understand. But you were just down there at the end of last month. I couldn't make it because of my trip to New York at the annual mining symposium, mining expo that they had in Quito. And you came away with a pretty good sense that the industry is very upbeat down there, didn't you?
Well, judging by attendance, I would say very upbeat. It was not a big show, nothing like we see here in Toronto at PDAC or something like that. But you know, for a market such as Ecuador, I was very impressed with the quality of the companies there. A lot of suppliers to the industry, but more importantly, the traffic, the crowds there were very large. And I came away from it saying, or thinking to myself, this is a very positive environment to be operating in. They want to get things going.
That's great. You mentioned that, among others, Carlos Perez, who is kind of the super minister these days that oversees both energy and mining, was there. Generally speaking, do you see him as having more of a hands-on attitude these days?
Well, I think he's got many hands in it, and I think he's a bit overwhelmed. That's just my own personal opinion. But you know, to come out of retirement at the request of Moreno, most likely because of his business background, he ran Halliburton for many years there. Those are three very large portfolios to oversee, and I think he's a bit overwhelmed, and I hear that from other people. I don't hear that from him per se. But I really enjoyed my meeting with him last August when I met, and he just said, "Look, we've got to clean up the mess here. So anything you can do, we're behind you." And that's riddled right down through the other ministries that I've met with: the Minister of the Environment, the Minister of Mines, the Minister of Artisanal and Small Mining. They're all pulling on the same oar, no pun intended, to help us get to the goal line. Now, like all these countries, they have no money, so you know they're there in spirit, but not monetarily. So, we will have to spend the money to get to the goal line to build a plant there, which is really what we do in most countries, anyways.
So. Sure. Well, what's nice is at least they're, as you say, they're all pulling on the same oar. A lot of these younger ministers that have come in, Ben Alcazar, who's the vice minister in charge of mining, I've been hearing great things about him. I spoke with Mr. Mata, who's the new environment minister, and especially since the holidays and the end of last year, and as we started 2019, a lot of companies I follow, they're getting their scout drilling permits, they're getting water and environmental permits that have been bottled up for a while, so it's great stuff. For you specifically, though, you're in a unique place, Ross, because you, as you have characterized yourself, at times you're not per se a mining company to the extent that you are. You're more properly called a green mining company, but you're also involved in environmental remediation. And you've been exposed in the recent past to some interesting projects that Backtech might help with in cleaning the environment and recovering metals at the same time, especially down in the southern part of the country where there's been some environmental degradation over time, and you've kind of come on the scene as a bit of a rock star. I hope that's not an overstatement. Tell us about some of your recent visits in that part of the country and what opportunities lie ahead for BACTEC.
Well, I'm a rock star who can't sing, but that's another issue. we're one of the only nuts out there that goes chasing after arsenic, which leaves a very, very wide open market for us because, as you know, any drill bits that go into arsenopyrite immediately stop drilling and move on to the next target. Arsenic is obviously perceived as a negative. It obviously, when you concentrate your mine material to produce a concentrate through flotation, you know, if you've got 1 or 2% arsenic in the rock, you're going to have mid-teens in the concentrate, which effectively means you've just made an unsellable product. The World Health Organization, I think, caps smelters at burning 1% arsenic, you know, in a ton of rock. Well, this is 15%, which means that it's way, way over the limit. The only options they have are, one, they can sell it to, say, Barrick or somebody who's in the roasting business, but unfortunately they have to feed that material in with clean material, and you can imagine how long it takes to do that when you've got 15% arsenic. So that's not a great option for them. The second option is the Asian buyers, the Chinese buyers, who are very, very prevalent in the area that we're in, which is called Ponce Enriquez. It's in the south, as you said, east of Machala. They sell their material, which their concentrates, which can run as high as, you know, 2 to 5 ounces of gold per ton. They sell it for 50 cents on the gold value. And, of course, that means, like as an example, with a 3-ounce concentrate, you're talking about handing away $2,000 worth of material for nothing. And that's not acceptable to them, but it's their only option. So we come along and we say, hey, what if we just charged you a flat fee, regardless of the arsenic? Because that's, you know, as you know, bioleaching is, it produces a ferric arsenate, which is a benign landfillable material. And so they were very excited about that. I visited one particular mine in January where the imprint that the owner has left in the area is very, very good. They've got water purification. They've got facilities for their employees. I was very impressed. And so I managed to meet the gentleman who's the general manager of that mine on my trip, and we're now allowed to go in and take a 25-kilogram sample from them, which we'll do bioleach work on up here in Canada. On the back of that, the next day, another mine called us and said, hey, well, if you're going to be doing them, why don't you do us as well? So the whole concept of you know, build it and they will come is starting to materialize already. We haven't even put a shovel in the ground yet. But you know, to get 70 cents on the dollar versus 50 is a 40% increase over what you're getting. And with the one mine, we said, you know, we're not adverse to having you as a partner in the plant if you want, which will, again, only increase their take, as it were, that they're getting over the Chinese today. So,
well, that's neat. It's a great opportunity, as people who have followed my own reporting on Ecuador generally, as well as on some companies, know this is something that is very much at the top of a priority list for President Moreno's government. Is at the same time they're trying to foster a great environment for large-scale mining, mostly by foreign companies who come and set up local subsidiaries, hire local people, and so forth. You know, Ecuador is the greatest new jurisdiction story on the planet in the last couple or 3 years because of Fruta del Norte, now the Cascabel discovery up north, and so forth. At the same time, next to that, there are all these artisanal mines scattered all over the place, and especially heavy concentration down where you're talking about, where literally mom and pop and some bootleg operations as well have really messed up the environment, and it's something that they want to clean up. At the same time, they try and do something to keep some of these people in business. They don't want to completely put the artisanal miners out of business, but they want it safer for the environment, for everybody concerned. And it's great that you kind of have a first mover opportunity down there if everything can align for you to do that. And it's something, of course, we'll continue to follow. Ross, you just announced just a few days ago that you had raised some additional funds. That is mostly for your Bolivia project, although for other purposes, of course. Now, in Bolivia, where you've been working on work through Laurentian University up in Ontario to look at some of the tailings from there, this isn't a bio-leaching operation. It's just a conventional tailings reprocessing, is it not?
That's correct. It's just a gravity flotation.
Okay.
You know, and the metals are copper, silver, and tin. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for us, we've done two rounds of metallurgy, one in at university in Bolivia and one in Vancouver at Metsolv, and the tin does not respond very well. It's unfortunate because half the value. I mean, there's probably at today's prices about $250 million worth of metal in those tailings, of which we would normally expect to get 50% of that value.
Uh-huh.
But the tin has been a tough one. It produces a, put it frankly, a really lousy concentrate, about 6% tin, and we only get 25% recoveries. I think once we get up and running, we'll go back and do some more work and try some other labs to see. I mean, just getting it from 25 to 35% recovery is a huge number for us. But I think it's important that for everybody who's been a very patient shareholder to this date, that we get up and running.
Right.
So that we can generate a cash flow that will feed the projects like in Ecuador and northern Peru and Colombia, where we'll introduce smaller bio-leach circuits that are amenable to treating arsenopyrite. I mean, we targeted a mine, or just in our own mines, we targeted 40 tons a day of concentrate for the first plant. That mine that I visited in January produces, oddly enough, 40 tons a day. And that sort of took our attention away from the tailings, which we originally went in on. There are 92 different tailings that sort of reach across, you know, the Andes, about 1,000 meters above the valley in Ponce Enriquez, that are full. They're built on terraces. You know, any big storm or an earthquake, and look out below. The reality was, though, to try and do test work on 92 different tailings to determine where you're going to start would just be cost prohibitive. And then literally we did this tour of the mine, and I looked at these mining sacks, and I said, what is that? And they said, that's 40 tons a day. That's our daily production of arsenopyrite. And it was just, you know, obviously the light bulb over the head went off. And I said, okay, gentlemen, we're going to change direction here. We're going to the simplest way to get into production is to have some sort of a guaranteed feed for 2 or 3 years so that somebody will finance that plant. They want to know that you have the material to buy.
Right.
And that on the tailing side was really difficult to put it all together because of multiple owners and different grades. But we think that what will happen, of course, is that once you get up and running, you'll start to hear from these people. First of all, it will be the producers, and then it will be, by the way, I've also got these tailings I have to do something with because the government's on my case to get rid of them. So, you know, we could be there a long time. That's the reality. And the 40 ton a day could become 140 tons a day, you know, 5 years down the road, depending on you know, our success and our acceptance in the area.
Sure. Well, and of course, that's, you know, getting back into bio-leaching, which is really your wheelhouse. One of the things I want to wrap up quick with for now, and I'm going to have more details for our audience on this imminently, but you also announced back in the middle of March that you had an opportunity open up, of all places, in Turkey. And that caught my eye for a number of reasons, not only because of the parties involved, which were impressive to me, but also because of the fact that Turkey, like Australia, like some other countries, is one where in the local currency, gold is right now hitting new successive all-time highs against, in this case, the Turkish lira. Turkey is one of the countries like Russia, China, Iran, others that have been aggressively accumulating gold. They have a reasonably respectable industry in their country. But tell us real quick as we wrap it up, Ross, what that may entail as they are looking also for your expertise in bio-leaching over there.
Well, our understanding was that there's an ore body that they want to put into production. They did pressure oxidation work, and the results were not that great, especially with the arsenic again. And so this engineering company from Turkey signed an agreement with us to represent us in that country, and effectively they're visiting a number of different projects in the country with the idea of introducing bioleaching as an answer to the problems of arsenic. Again, that's what we do. There are still people out there that think bioleaching is some sort of a mystical voodoo, but you know, there are roughly 25 plants that have been built around the world, very quietly, I might add. But it, you know, it's the answer to producing and getting your permitting done, because you have an answer to this ugly arsenic issue. So we're just right now sitting on the sidelines waiting for the engineering company, hopefully, to come back to us and say, okay, we won. Now we're going to do the feasibility study, incorporating bioleaching into the process. I get these calls all the time. I was telling you before we came on that I've been approached about a bio heap leaching project in Cyprus, of all places, which is an old heap leaching copper mine. Again, these are Turkish investors, believe it or not, that are, you know, because they have sort of a right to half of that island, from what I understand, with Greece. You know, it's just a softer way of mining or processing. It's
right.
You don't hit it with a hammer. You let nature take its own course and do the work for you. So
interesting stuff. Well, again, on a couple of these things that we didn't have time to delve into too deeply, especially Turkey, I'll be having an update on that in the newsletter this week and another write-up on BACTEC to come imminently. So folks, you know, check out my website for more information, nationalinvestor.com. Ross's website is BACTEC, and that's TECH, green.com. And again, BACTEC Environmental is on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol BAC, on our U.S. over-the-counter market under BCCEF. And it won't be too terribly long before we look to get you back again. Ross, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.